And good morning. Welcome to Community Voice. I'm your host, Josh Engel. Today is Tuesday, March 18th, because yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. I'm very, very pleased to have some folks here in the studio with us today. We have Tima Humphreys, as well as Vince Fulgham.
Correct.
Said it right? Excellent. Right. I'm always worried I'm going to say that name wrong. We are currently live streaming this morning's episode as we discuss the Community Family Violence Prevention Initiative on our WLBB News Talk 1330 Facebook page. So if you have any questions or comments for our awesome guests, this is what, maybe the third or fourth time on the program?
Yes.
I believe. We have a great time every time. Tima is a prevention education specialist and community liaison, as well as certified frontline advocate. So why don't we start this morning with a little bit of background on you both, if we could. Let's start with Tima.
Thank you so much, really, for having us again and giving us an opportunity to talk about how we serve our community and some prevention education initiatives that we have coming up, and tell you a little bit about CFEPI. We've been serving West Georgia since 2016. We are a privately funded nonprofit organization. It's definitely a labor of love. No one takes a salary. And Vince is not only my business partner and our principal advisor. He's been working with our organization to develop it and to really fine-tune it since 2018. And,
awesome.
Here we are.
I know you two are just... You guys are just a match made in heaven. I love getting to hang out with you because you both just get along so well, or laughing and giggling. We can
very
joke,
yes.
Right? We were talking about how a lot of people don't have a sense of humor. We love that we can hang out and laugh for a bit. Well, wonderful. All right. Well, Vince, tell us a bit about yourself.
All right. I've been in West Georgia now since 1980, moved into this area. I grew up in the city of Atlanta. My background is financial operational analysis. Along with that, program development. So I worked as a consultant for many years, helping organizations find areas of where they can improve, whatever it may be, profit, nonprofit, government entity, and so forth. So
excellent. Awesome. Well, let's go back a bit and tell the story for listeners who may be tuning in the first time on a program for the CFVPI. If you could, Tima, tell us a bit about how it all came together.
It came together when I began to question behaviors that were in my previous marriage, and we had some huge financial shifts that changed the dynamic of our household, to where my former spouse was in the house all the time, and I began to recognize all of these behaviors that I kind of overlooked all of the years. So I began to seek help for our marriage and my relationship through pastoral care. Christian counseling was my go-to, and like many victims, 9 times out of 10, whether they attend a church or are engaged in a faith-based organization, they're going to turn to that as a resource. And I didn't get the help that I needed. Mm-hmm. So I worked as a consultant, and so I went to the people that I was working for and was seeking help there, and I didn't get it. No one believed me, first of all. So when I begin to read something outside of Christianity, secular, it all just began to resonate with me. And I called the Domestic Violence Helpline, and that changed the course of my destiny. And I knew, just navigating those systems, I began to see the huge gaps in the systems, and really just felt like it was a learning experience, but it was very scary. And I knew that this changed the course of my destiny, and I used a portion of my crime victims' compensation, which no one told me about. I kind of navigated that system for me and my children kind of on my own, and that was an extremely helpful resource for me to gain some financial independence. But I used a portion of that to found this organization, and the name is huge, Community Family Violence Prevention Initiative, because that's where the gap is in prevention education, from just not having an understanding about what domestic violence looks like. Most people think it's physical abuse. That's just one aspect of it, but there are other behaviors, and it is about power and control over another person, and really starting to understand what those behaviors look like, and to move away from the word violence and abuse as it is legally written, and to start using words like unhealthy, toxic, red flags, because those things can resonate with the average person, and it's more palatable.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, to not be listened to.
That's right.
That's incredibly frustrating. And I think, as with all things, and this isn't to knock anyone's faith, but, you know, faith-based therapy, you know, counseling and various faith-based initiatives, you know, it can only go as far as, in some cases, the book will allow. And you have some churches, I mean, we're not talking about a monolithic entity. You have some institutions which might have a bit more lax interpretation of what abuse might be.
That's correct.
And that's despicable to me, because to turn around and tell someone that that's not what you're going through, or just to not believe you, I mean, that's what has led to an incredible amount of pain, I can't imagine, you know, throughout the world.
And yes, that yes. In some belief systems, are women are looked as kind of like the servitude or the
property.
Helper. Property, exactly. And, you know, my relationship was not a physical violence whatsoever. I was never physically abused by my former spouse. But there was a lot of emotional manipulation, jealousy, all of those behaviors that over time were impacting my mental and physical health and the well-being of my soul. And that is when I said something has to change here. And one of the reasons I believe so greatly in prevention education is because that's the journey I took. I did not want to ever find myself in that position again. And just starting to open up and pull back the layers of things that I was covering up, I found there were other people just like me who either had come through it or they were still in it and they could relate to my story.
Absolutely. So, well, let's talk a bit about the CFVPI and the TMF, the Motorcycle Fellowship Collaboration. You know, the Motorcycle Fellowship, a group which, Vince, you're very much responsible for. How did this
That's right.
How did this relationship kick off between these two organizations?
So the way that this started, so I had a motorcycle shop, Motorcycle Fellowship here in West Georgia, and the part of that was it was really an educational facility, working a lot with some at-risk youth. And to help them work through some of their challenges through accomplishment of a new skill that was gained. So I had the shop, and there was a friend of mine, Amy Sanders, who is no longer with us, and she knew Tima quite well, and they were working together. They were working together on CFVPI, and Amy had wanted to introduce us because of some of the things I had been involved in regarding shelters and so forth prior. And it took quite a while, I think, for Tima to finally come down to the shop. But she came in one time, and we met, and she shared her story with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with at that time, she was spending a good amount of time with providing temporary emergency shelter for people. I had some rental properties that I said, well, we can use some of these properties for those purposes. And that began taking place, and we've just progressed and moved through the evolution of the organizations working together to, while we still maintain those tenets, we also look at education as being something that is really significantly needed. We don't, it's not that we don't want to deal with the problem, but we would much rather prevent the problem if we can. That's a much better solution.
Well, he's missing out on, he also, you know, he has a daughter and he has granddaughters, and, women ride motorcycles, and he had this idea, if you want to tell him about it prior, about the calendar and having women that rode their own motorcycles. And
So the idea with that is not to objectify women, but yes, I do had granddaughters and I have a daughter, and I wanted them to recognize that in the motorcycle world, women do not necessarily have to ride on the back of their motorcycle. They do not have to be a model standing next to a motorcycle that never gets off the showroom floor, but they have the power to do the same thing that men can do. You know, why not? And so I was going to put together this calendar of women, authentic women riders of their own motorcycles. And when I met Tima, I said, look, if you'll help me with this project, all the proceeds from this project will go to fund your organization. And that was the very beginning of our partnership, and it has just progressed from there. So
amazing. This motif of the independent woman on her own motorcycle,
That's
not
right.
sitting on the back seat.
That's correct.
I mean, What a perfect motif to represent the opposition of the thought of a woman being property, or this sort of antiquated idea. And it's like you're not a bag that we threw on the back of the motorcycle here. Like, no, this is your motorcycle. And Tima was kind enough to give me a calendar last year, and it was off the chain. It was so cool. These powerful, strong women with their like biker vests on and stuff, and driving through the country. It was amazing. And what an awesome opportunity to raise awareness for this initiative.
It has been a very grassroots, organic, and that's what I love about it. This whole organization is grassroots. But what's so great about the calendar is it's not only a talking point that kind of takes the edge off of a very complex subject matter, but it has a public service announcement. It has resources. It has indicators. And it has so much. So when we engage with our community, or we engage with the women who volunteer, they become advocates. So we have these women who participated in this calendar for the last 7 years are advocates all across our nation, not just in our community. They have a resource, a very powerful resource that we can put in their hand.
So to those tuning in, you might want to buy a support this organization and buy a stack of these calendars. So if there's anyone in your life that you fear might be in a bad situation, slip them that calendar so they know what day it is. And more importantly, they have access to all the resources and websites and whatnot provided in the calendar. Time is 8:42. We're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. But when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Vince and Tima as we chat more about the Community Family Violence Prevention Initiative and a bit about the data which is available, as well as more information about how you can educate others on resources that might be able to help them, as well as acquire a calendar to support this great initiative. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
And we're back to Community Voice. Today is Tuesday, March 18th. If you're just tuning in, be sure to check out the full podcast of this episode or the live stream of this episode on our, which is going on right now, on our News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. If you have any questions, comments, kudos for our amazing guests today, feel free to hop in the chat and give those to them. Today, our guests are the Prevention Education Specialist and Community Liaison with Community Family Violence Prevention Initiative, CFVPI, Tima Humphreys, as well as Vince Fulgham with the Motorcycle Fellowship. And this is a partnership between these two organizations to help raise awareness for domestic violence in the home and provide resources, not only to empower victims of domestic abuse, but also raise money, raise awareness for the nonprofit to continue to help those throughout the state. So if we could, let's jump into the mission.
Well,
it would be excellent to chat about the mission of the organization and what you aim to accomplish.
Thank you so much. You know, Vince is on the board. He's the chair as well as our principal advisor, and he's been very instrumental in helping us refine this vision. We are self-sustained with our victims assistance and our outreach and our community awareness. All of that is self-sustained. So as we look forward, our vision is our mission is to increase understanding of family domestic violence and the devastating impacts it has on communities. We do that through comprehensive awareness and education campaigns, as well as advocate for victims and survivors of family domestic violence. So our vision is to really have someone in the community who believes in what we do and want to partner with us to bring these public prevention education as awareness campaigns to media, whether it is print, radio, magazines, I did say print, I'm sorry, billboards, and to really just saturate our community with education and resources for people, because it creates a sense of safety for victims and gives them, remember I was telling you earlier, like, no one believes you. It gives them a resource that has real people who are educated in keeping them safe and giving them the peer support that they need, as well as educating them on the fact that, you know, one of the biggest questions is, why don't people just leave? Well, you know, it's a crime. The perpetrator is the one that needs to be removed, and the victim needs to understand their rights. You want to keep that family intact and help support that victim and those children and let them stay in the safety of their home and remove the perpetrator.
I'm glad that you said that. You mentioned children, because in so many situations, it's not just the wife who might be, or husband or whoever is being abused, but I mean, there's children in the mix too. And why should the victim and the children go out into the cold while the perpetrator's just hanging out?
That's right.
That's not right. So that really illuminates a question that folks might have, which is, why not just get away from it? Well, you know, you were talking about getting away from your whole life. Maybe the cancer should be removed instead.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's kind of complex in nature as well. But, you know, children that are exposed to this violence and this abuse and these patterns of behavior, they have a higher rate for illness, a higher rate for diagnosis with disorders. You know, it impacts their ability to focus in school, and all of that ends up impacting it. You know, it creates homelessness if they do have to leave. There are financial impacts, and as far as joblessness, and it does impact our community. And as we look at the statistics, and Vince is going to talk a little bit about the relevance of how prevalent it is in our community, we can see the impacts as our systems to support that grow.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Vince, take it away. Please provide us some data. Would this be statewide and countywide data?
Yes, a little bit of both. And so this report has most recently been produced by the Georgia Commission on Family Violence. The data is available online. It's the reports that I have looked at for many years, they are very comprehensive in their data and research. I'm impressed with a lot of the information you're pulling together. But to just give you an idea of how the prevalence, well, first of all, let me just say something a little bit about abuse. And over time, our familiar structure has changed, our family structure. We also have, or the definition or the understanding of violence is changing slightly as well. So at one time, there may have been a consideration of abuse would have been the husband was beating his wife. Well, first of all, you know, the makeup of our families is not necessarily that traditional role anymore. And it could be that the female is the aggressor and not the male. But the violence, family violence under the Georgia Family Violence Act includes anyone that is currently or previously living in the household that is impacting another person in a violent way. But it doesn't necessarily have to be physical. So if you think of the etymology of the word violence and the word violation are very similar. So a violation of someone's rights, maybe they're, you know, not allowed to leave the home. They're confined, or there may be other restrictive situations taking place. So those fall under this category. Imagine parents of a child, but they don't live together, never have lived together. But, you know, there could, that's a situation where it could occur. But so taking that into consideration, in 2023, the data that's most recently available, in Georgia, there were more than 37,000 incidents of family violence reported in Georgia in 2023.
47,000?
37,653. So, and it's not distributed equally, but to imagine there's 159 counties in the state of Georgia.
That's of who's reporting as
that's
well.
That's a huge number.
And that's the people who are able to report. There are some folks who
they're
who
collecting
may not.
The data from various entities,
law enforcement,
to put this together, shelters. This comprehensive data together.
So my goodness,
a very big number, much more than I would have thought was actually taking place. And then also, but then there's two studies. One was 2018 to 2021, and then also 19 to 2023, but 2018 to 21, that four-year period, Carroll County is in the 90th percentile for calls related
incidents.
To family violence. 90th percent, meaning that we have more calls per capita in Carroll County than 90% of the counties in the state. That's just a huge, huge problem.
Earlier when we were talking, I intended to ask, is there a particular service area that you aim to serve, but you'd have your hands full just with Carroll County. The numbers are that high just in Carroll County in the 90th percentile. What do we think contributes to this? Do we think,
it could be that there's a greater awareness of what is constituting violence. So there, people are calling more frequently than in some other locations. It could be societal in nature. Maybe there's some more rural communities that think that certain behaviors are allowed.
Yeah, antiquated behaviors.
Yes, that are more acceptable than in a closer to a metro area. Beyond that, we don't really have the information of why are they calling, other than they are calling.
As you pointed out, I'm glad that they're calling. Maybe that's a sign that thanks to the efforts of the organization here, maybe folks are a lot more aware and they're just not going to take it, and that would be, that's a great motivation to keep going, because the fact that it's happening, it's out there happening, but I'm very glad that folks are actually reporting it.
So it's what happens beyond that call.
Yeah.
And how do we prevent that call from ever happening? And it's through education.
Well, you don't want to prevent the call. You want to erase the problems that would be a reason for someone to have to call. Reduce that problem. But one of the other statistics that we've reviewed that's kind of also concerning that we could like to dig into more is that although Carroll County is in the 90th percentile for calls related to or incidents reported, family violence incidences, Carroll County is in the 25th percentile in arrests being made.
Wow.
So that's there's clearly a gap. So what is happening? Are they providing a solution on site that's preventing it from taking place? But if you consider that this is a crime taking place, why is someone not being arrested? And what immediately comes to mind is there's a Netflix special recently about the story of Gabby Petito. And I would encourage everyone to watch that. And if you see the scene where there's a 911 call from a bystander regarding what's taking place between Gabby Petito and her partner at that time, and then shortly after that, they're pulled over by the police, state police or county police in Utah. And the interaction that takes place, it's like, well, are you really hurt? Is it really taking place? Mm. And the discussion is, well, you have the right to arrest this person, but, the officer's saying, but I'm going to leave it up to you. You make the decision. So they make the decision to just separate them. Not too many days after that,
she was dead.
And I'm like, wow, could that have been prevented by someone having the knowledge and the strong decision to, we've got to arrest someone here. We've got to remove this aggressor from this situation. So,
time is 8:54. We're going to go ahead and take our last commercial break. But when we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with Tima and Vince as we chat about the Community Violence, Family Violence Prevention Initiative right here in our own county and state. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius Strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
And we're back to Community Voice, Tuesday, March 18th. Our guest this morning, if you have missed the missed us on the radio or have not tuned in yet to the live stream on our WLBB Facebook page, please go back and check out the full episode as we chat with the crew from the Community Family Violence Prevention Initiative. It's a powerful story, and we're so glad anytime team is able to come on the program. So glad Vince joined her again this time. It's a very powerful story. We have a couple of comments that have come in on the live stream. I want to be sure to read those out and give them shout outs. Jeannie Legal Dollar said, "Thank you for your efforts to support women in abusive relationships." And then she continued, "Yes, whomever is creating division and violence in the family needs to be addressed, and in at least negative way to add to the fallout of these home situations as possible." And I think that's an important point remember that, you know, sometimes they may, thank you so much for that comment, yes. Mrs. Dollar, but sometimes in the act of removal, things may get chaotic or crazy. So it's important to have these resources that are there for you, that will believe you, and that can help make that happen. We only have probably about 2.5 minutes left. Maybe tell us a bit about education.
We do have a great comprehensive prevention education campaign, and anyone that wants to come along and partner with us, and we're willing to give that to them and let them run with it, or we're willing to execute that for them. You know, it is a collaborative effort, and we're looking for people who believe in what we do and believe in the power of prevention education, and would love to see this community blanketed with all of these resources, not just helpful resources like our help numbers, like our Georgia Domestic Violence Helpline, which I'm going to say it's 1-800-33-HAVEN. That is a 24-hour-a-day, 7 days a week helpline in the state of Georgia, as well as the National Domestic Violence Helpline, which is 1-800-799-7233. Any questions, if you have a friend, family, or loved one who is possibly in a toxic or an unhealthy relationship, or you see red flags, reach out. There is a lot of preparation that has to be done to keep those people safe. Go ahead. And those are just some of the reasons. Or they can reach out to CFVPI. We are very active on social media as well as our website, and we would be happy to
provide the content. And for any partner that wants to provide education classes, we'd love to see it in the schools. I mean, there are states that require relationship classes at middle school and beyond to understand what is healthy and what is not. And, you know, we have some of those resources. We'll provide them. If someone wants to implement it, we're on board to help partner with that.
And they're great. And last month was Teen Domestic Violence Dating Awareness Month. And there's some legislation that is helping protect our young people that are in schools. And those resources are phenomenal.
Wonderful. Vince, Tima, thank you so much for the work that you're putting into this. Visit CFVPI.org for more information. And to everyone that tuned in, we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.